next on McGonagall. McGonagall is framed for a crime he didn't commit, and only one witness can clear his name. A little sissy boy who's too scared to come forward.
You gotta tell him what you saw, Billy.
But I'm so scared, McGonagall.
You gotta do this one for me, Billy. McGonagall.
Okay. For you, McGonagall.
Well, McGonagall, Billy is dead. They slit his throat from ear to ear.
Hey, I'm trying to eat lunch here.
Hello and welcome to Better Than H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Terry, I am good now that we are back on the mics. I mean very well, Terry, very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
I was well until you went rogue on the intro.
Unbelievable. People give out to me when we don't do it properly.
Really? Yeah. When did we ever not do it properly?
One episode.
At one time.
And somebody was like, oh, it's very disappointing to hear you didn't go with your opening.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
I'm telling you. All this free content we're giving them. Anyway.
Well, I am just so excited to be back on the mic.
Me too.
It feels like we've been away for too long.
What is it now? This is it almost a month?
I think it's been about a month since we actually had a fresh recording.
We got a couple in the bank before that.
How have you been?
I've been good. I've been away.
Yeah.
On holidays. I'm not going to say too much about it. I was in break in Italy. Enjoyed myself.
If I may.
Oh. Doesn't sound like there's a lot of fizz going on in there, though.
Well, if you're asking, it's a tropical edition Red Bull. See, I normally like a little boost at this
sugar
time
free?
Of the day. It is sugar free. I got this for the energy.
I think there's still caffeine in it.
Okay, fine. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. You know what? It's fine.
Yeah. It looks like that. Looks just fine.
I love
like,
tropical flavored anything, to be honest.
Yeah, you're always a Fanta exotic man. A Fanta erotic, as you like to call it. A 2 liter bottle of Fanta erotic.
Back in the day, When I first tasted a Fanta erotic, as I call it, I was in tech graphics class. I remember specifically. And someone gave me like a swig of the end of their bottle. And I literally, you know when we had like the pineapple in Amsterdam?
Yeah.
I was like, I had that same reaction of just like my brain exploded. Like, they're giving away free bottles in front of the center because it was only brand new. I was like, I went as soon as school was finished and straight to get more.
I hate to go against the tide, shall we say, but I have never been more disappointed than trying a bottle of Fanta.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, this is exact. I'm right up my alley, so excited for it. And I was like, oh, it's terrible. Like, just no good, don't bad.
Well, my tastes have changed since then. I wouldn't touch the stuff now.
Yeah. But I have a nice relaxing break. I tell you what I did. I read a couple of books in my, you know, usual detective genre stuff.
By Andy McNabb?
No. God, no. I actually have bought a book of his before, and it's terrible. No, just not for me. But, like, this is more like, you know, the alcoholic private investigator, that sort of, but funny as well. Like, I read a couple of short stories, whatever, a book of short stories. Ooh. But I bought a book, and for a film nerd like me, it's fantastic. It's called The Big Picture, right?
Yeah.
And it's all about, remember the Sony hack?
No.
Okay, remember The Interview?
Yes.
The movie. And around that time, the company that was producing it, Sony Pictures, was hacked by Korean intelligence and released all these like 10,000 confidential emails.
Ooh.
So this guy has done a book on basically like those emails of like what was going on at Sony at the time.
Yeah.
How in the 2000s they were like all about, you know, big star driven vehicles like Adam Sandler and Will Smith movies.
Yeah.
And now how basically at this time they were, and Spider-Man was a huge property for them, and now at this time when the hacks came out, it was around the time where Disney had bought Marvel and Pixar, and it's all kind of going big budget branding, doesn't matter about the star anymore. it kind of...
That's true, actually, though, isn't it?
Like, that's like Disney, they go into...
There are no real stars. Well, there is stars, but like it's more about like, it's a Marvel movie. It's yes, not a...
Will it's Smith Transformers. Movie. It's yeah, whatever. Like, and it's kind of... Like, it was really interesting. You're like, oh my God. Like, it showed like how Disney... Do you remember that when you used to rent a video from X-Vision and it'd be like, Touchstone Pictures or something yeah, like that? That was Disney, like, sub-company.
Oh, really?
And the man basically when took over Disney, he's like, why are you making like 20 Touchstone picture movies that don't make us any money?
Yeah.
When we did Alice in Wonderland, that made $1 billion. Why don't we just do that all the time?
Yeah.
And so it's basically like he's like shutting down all their like independent ooh, movies, and now they're gone, just complete branding. So it's kind of like basic. I thought it was very interesting how like it just basically shows the death of like the mid-budget movie, which to me are like the most interesting movies of, yeah, like, you know, like you can't have like
they wouldn't make a blank check anymore.
They would not make a blank check anymore
for many reasons. Yeah, yeah. I love that. That's the like, that's the example I went for.
And it was funny because they devote like chapters to like Adam Sandler and Will Smith and how they've gone to Netflix.
Yeah,
is that that's where the mid budget movie gets made
yeah,
now?
Yeah, that's
but
true,
they don't
actually,
they
yeah,
don't see it in theaters. But and I did follow up on your tweet thread about Wild Wild West.
Oh yeah,
I watched that in Italian.
How was it?
Terrible. But also, like, I completely forgot that like Will Smith dresses up as like a harem girl in it.
Oh yeah.
And at one point, like his bra is like a flamethrower. It's a truly insane film. I don't think I lost anything for it being in Italian. Put it that way.
You could watch it in Italian and like not even have the subtitles, and you
there was no subtitles.
You would understand it just
the
as
the only
much,
subtitles I could get working were Italian subtitles.
It would probably make more sense without the dialogue.
But straight after it finished, I figured out how to get to change the channel from Italian to English.
Oh.
Only a couple of channels that were like American imports or whatever. Oh, yeah. They were dubbed in Italian. Change it to English, and then later that night, or maybe it was the next night, Happy Gilmore was on.
What a treat.
Just, what a treat. First of all, as well, how serendipitous that it was Will Smith and Adam Sandler, who I've just been reading about. But I gotta say, Happy Gilmore.
Does Faye enjoy Happy Gilmore? Does Faye like Happy Gilmore, can
she
I ask?
She hates Adam Sandler.
Kerry also hates him.
And I can see
particularly
why.
Particularly Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison ooh, and those sort of ones.
No, they're like, the good ones, though. But like,
maybe
I can,
Happy Gilmore and Billy
I can
but
see why she hates him, because she probably yeah, wasn't there in the. Like, I was 10
yeah,
when Happy Gilmore came out, yeah, like, you know,
and I was whatever 13
when
Billy
I
Madison
it
came out,
yeah,
then,
yeah,
you know, like right as they came out.
But like it was kind of, she was like half asleep, but you could hear her like chuckling, and I was like, God, like it's talk about like a mid-budget comedy, but it's so like there's so much nuance in it. It's so good in terms of like every person in it,
there's no wasted space.
They're locked in, they know yeah, what they're doing. Like the weakest point in it, if anything, is his girlfriend.
Yeah. What was she from? I know.
She went from Modern Family. The man.
Modern Family.
She's
yeah,
the man
yeah,
from
yeah,
Modern
yeah,
Family. And Faye was like,
I never
like,
liked her.
She was like, what's that L? What's he doing with that L one? And I was like, that's the man from Modern Family. 20 years before Modern Family. She looks older than.
She actually does look older than.
Looks way
she does
better
now.
Like, yeah. It's just the way she's dressed or whatever. But like, say like Chubbs or like Shooter or like. Like
Shooter,
Bob, the whole,
Ben Stiller. Like,
yeah, Ben Stiller especially. Like, he's like, oh yeah? You think your fingers hurt? No, your back's going to hurt. You just put landscaping duty. All right.
It's $500 a quilt. It's cement. All this shit we're talking here. Or like turn up your volume.
Yeah, the Bob Barker scene. Like I know, it's like
so
it goes
good
without saying, but actually, yeah, like it's. I was just thinking about like it's so like he's so good.
Yeah, everyone like, just commits like
100%. The fact the way he's punched, like he's throwing the punches or like he's doing everything, and you see him like walking away,
it's
like
the fact
shuffling.
That his fists are up the whole time, like a proper technique, yeah, like
yeah,
jabs.
Yeah,
but.
Great.
If I may say, there's a couple of movies that I've seen that I wanted to talk to you about. One, actually, when I was on holidays, Bad Boys was on. Made the mistake of leaving it on with Joni around.
Oh, no.
It was just at the end. I thought like, it was safe. It was when they're driving in the car.
The big, like...
It's like, got it? You know, like, yeah, that little gap. It's like, that's how you drive. From now on, that's how you yeah, drive. And all this sort of stuff. And then I thought, oh, no, they got the bad guy. And I knew that he sort of died at the end, but spoiler alert.
Who's
but,
the bad guy in it? Is it the guy?
The guy with the beard. You're fucking with my timetable.
Oh yeah, is one of his henchmen the guy from The Mask? Is he in that movie?
Possibly, big guy.
No, the guy. There's always time for a kiss.
I don't think it's him.
No, he just seems like he was in every one.
The best henchman where he's like, your one scratching herself. She's like, you got an itch, I'd love to scratch it. And she's like, scratch this. Middle finger, I scratch whatever you want me to, you blue-eyed bitch. But anyway, at the end of this movie, like, the amount of bullets that they put in him, and I'm like, Johnny's watching it, and she's like, is he dead? And I was like, no, he's just asleep or whatever. And
does Johnny understand dead?
Now she does, after Bad Boys. She was just coming around to it. Yeah. She keeps calling it like the zombie movie because like I think she thinks that he's not dead.
Oh right.
So I was like, ugh. But speaking of Hollywood A-listers of years gone by,
yeah.
I watched American Made.
Yes,
Tom Cruise. Yeah. What is this movie?
Did you like it?
No, I didn't like it. What is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's like 6 minutes in, he's gone from being like a pilot to being like this Colombian drug smuggler. I'm like, sorry, have we missed like the first 30 minutes of character development here?
He's just straight in
and he's already, yeah, I'm gay.
All you needed was in the like, first...
Is it a comedy?
Kind of. It's comedy, it's satire. I find that period of American history really interesting. Like
Pablo Escobar.
Just what the fuck were they getting up to in like Central America or whatever? Like saying, go on down there and destabilize that government so that the drug runners can have power or whatever. Like, you know, all that stuff I find, like, and I've read like books on it and stuff like that. So like I was like locked in. Tom Cruise is great.
Yeah, he's, you know, I'm thinking like, it's one of those movies like you see it so often, like we talked about with... a few movies where you'll have like a big A-lister and then a bunch of nobodies, and I'm like, why are they doing this movie? It's kind of like that. It's like, does Tom Cruise, like, he's seen the script, he's seen the cast, and he's happy to keep going with this, like, at this point in his career?
I think he produced it. He wanted to do the story. He liked it, and he likes the director. You know what I mean? Like, nowadays, Tom Cruise very much decides who he works with.
Yeah.
So he, like, that's the guy that did Edge of Tomorrow. It's the same director. Right. So he's like, come do this movie with me.
Right.
We'll figure out the rest when we
blew
get
up
there.
In his face, huh?
Not really.
Did it do well?
It did okay. Like, I don't, like, it didn't make money.
I was looking forward to
it. No, it wasn't like 100 million or anything like that. Like, I enjoyed it, I have to say. Bought it on Blu-ray.
Bought it on Blu-ray. When did this movie come out?
2 for 10 or something like that. But I bought that and I bought A Quiet Place. Still haven't watched A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place with John Krasinski.
Yeah.
You haven't watched that, but you watched American Made.
I told you. I just said mid-budget movie is my cup of tea.
You know what? I was slightly disappointed with A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
I won't say too much about it because you haven't seen it. But,
I also... I've heard that it's just like, why don't you go live in the noisy place in the city or whatever where there's loads of noise?
Yeah.
That was somebody pointed out a plot hole to me and I was like, okay.
Is that me who pointed it out?
Possibly. It might have been at my wedding. Me, you and Egan were chatting about it.
I think that was me. I think that was mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also still owe me $100. Logan Marshall Green is not Tom Hardy.
Even Google can't tell the difference between him. Who is this guy? I've only ever seen him in this movie. There's a guy called, if you listen to this, Google it. Logan Marshall Green is his name. He was in this movie called The Invitation. Pure bollocks it was. But
great fucking movie.
But he looks, the only reason I stuck with it is because, okay, he's Tom Hardy. What an actor. What an actor he is.
But he was great in it, right?
He was good, yeah.
I thought he was great.
He was good. And I thought the whole time, start to finish, before and end, I was like, that was a great movie with Tom
Hardy. 6 months later.
And it was only when I was talking to you, and I shouldn't know. As soon as you put your hand out for a bet, like, how much you bet? Hand out. I'm like, I should know then to back away. But I was like, £100. Like,
you're like, a couple of glasses of wine deep. Yeah, okay.
Even Google couldn't tell. They had the pictures of him, and they have a picture of Tom Hardy. Like,
there's a good one with him in it called Upgrade.
Right? I'm not interested.
It's like a Black Mirror movie, though. Oh, okay. Right? It's like pretty much, him and his wife, basically, it's the near future. Self-driving cars are the norm,
right?
He's doing something for a tech mogul. I think he builds like classic cars, for a tech mogul. And whatever happens when he's leaving his house, his car, self-driving car, goes to a bad part of town, and he is either he's shot and his wife is killed. He's paralyzed. Ugh. He's in it. He's
never
in a
watching
chair.
This movie.
No. But basically, the mogul's like, oh, I'm so sorry this happened to you. He comes up with this like chip in the back of his neck where he has an AI that controls his limbs, essentially.
Ooh.
But then him and the AI, and it's like a buddy cop, the AI can talk to him. They go to try and find his wife's killers. But when he's still finding it a bit hard to move. So when it's like he's getting attacked or something, by like the first guy that he comes to me. He like, when he's like, help me, like, and then the AI takes over and starts like kicking ass.
I actually really want to see.
Yeah, it's great. Right? Like, it's really good. Sold me. It's really good. Upgrade.
What movies or what year is it?
Last year.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, it's not even a year old, I don't think. Like, great. And it was really, really.
I will
good.
Actually watch.
And it's like 90 minutes, and I was thinking to myself, like, it's like a feature length episode of Black Mirror, like, or what a regular length episode of Black Mirror these days.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Okay. You know? But all right.
Really good.
I will actually watch that. Anything else been going on in your world?
Not really. You know, just back in work and back to reality,
as they say. I too am well.
Yeah. Back in work.
I was off for 2 weeks. Got me blue belt as we discussed, which I was very happy with. Yeah. And
I saw you posted something online about your BMI.
Then I kept getting comments.
Where did you get that? Where did you?
You know, in those chemists, those big things you stand on. Yeah. Like it was. Like, I was just waiting. Kerry was getting something, and I was just doing it with Joni. Joni wanted to do hers, so I had some spare change. Yeah. So I just did it myself as well. But then I got comments. Everyone saying like BMI is bollocks.
Anyway. It is bollocks. Like, yeah. I was like, that's very harsh. Like
I know. Like
also, like I'm about half a stone heavier than you going by that data, and I'm like, oh Jesus Christ,
I was
like,
maybe 14 stone or something like that.
I shouldn't have gotten
to the numbers.
Fucking shame me, man. But I'd say I'm a bit of a pasta baby on me at the moment. A lot of pasta pizza the last
it's been holiday mode.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Dare I say, Terry, can we talk about The Simpsons?
Sure. Before we get into The Simpsons, so Epstein.
What?
You know this guy Epstein?
Oh yeah.
I feel like we should address that. Like,
yeah, tell me what it's all about.
No, but like, you know, he's like a sex trafficker.
Yeah, and he got
killed himself. Yeah, oh yeah, quote unquote. You know,
himself, yeah.
But you know, he had like these tapes, and they're like, they keep talking about like Clinton being on them or whatever.
I don't know anything about it.
Basically, like a load of like celebrities at his party and stuff like that. Like, but Matt Groening was named.
Oh,
he's like, you know, he's on those Epstein. I keep seeing everywhere.
No
like,
way. Yeah. So, like talking all sorts of.
It's like underage.
I fucking knew it.
But like nothing.
I wouldn't even be surprised.
Nothing has come of it, but it's just like.
Allegedly.
Yeah, like he has been mentioned there or whatever like that. Like, but the world is so crazy now. Like.
Nothing was surprised. Did you see.
But like.
Go on. I was going to say, did you see what Donald Trump just tweeted?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like,
I'm not even going to get into it.
What, was that the Jews thing?
Yeah. I couldn't get over. I was reading the whole thing. I have to put that gif here, man. It's like I couldn't believe what I was reading.
But he says it.
I can believe it.
Like so deadpan as well. Like you know,
I just don't know what world.
If you the Jews, they go for.
He's like a god. The American Jews don't appreciate him, but he's all. He kept going and going.
He's like if they vote Democratic, they're you know disloyal or something. It's like what?
Pure
but like, but that's the way the world. Like that whole Matt Groening thing could be absolute shite. Like he actually. Because he has coined this term fake news, and because there's so much shit being thrown out, it's actually like, what is real?
You just don't know. That's
the scariest thing.
Like, even with the whole Epstein?
Whatever. Jeff. God rest his soul.
I deliberately don't click in the article and read it because. It's all, you know, like...
I'm starting to get sucked in too much, I think.
Yeah.
Like, what's he done now? Like, what's Trump doing now? Like,
Or you'd hear, like everyone was saying last week, oh, did you hear that girl was found or whatever like that? I was like, who? And like, oh, someone was whatever. That's terrible. Just kept walking. Yeah. Like, I don't want to know the details of the story. I don't want to know anything about it. I like my own little world.
And you like you know? Like that little patch of sand that you can put
your
head in.
I like my patch of sand.
You can put your head right in it.
I love my patch of sand.
Right. Shall we get into it then?
Please. Yeah. Terry, this afternoon we are talking about the episode of The Simpsons, The Boy Who Knew Too Much. It is season
number
5, if you'll let me finish, episode 20.
We are really like coming around the bend here. We only got two more after this. Yeah.
It was written by John Swartzwelder,
Seal
of Approval, directed by Jeffrey Lynch. And featured the new character of Freddie Quimby, who was voiced by Dan Castellaneta himself. It acquired a Nielsen rating of 10.1 and was the fifth highest rated show on Fox the week it aired. Now, a 10.1 a Nielsen rating is approximately 9.5 million households. Mere peanuts in comparison to the earlier episodes of the season.
They're really on the downslope, are they?
They're not really. Like, but just this particular one just got less. What else can I tell you about it? It got great reviews, as of course. The our favourite book that we haven't read, I can't believe it's a bigger and better updated unofficial Simpsons guide. They praised the episode for containing a memorable guest character in the French waiter, Monsieur Lacrosse.
Ah.
Again, talk about stereotypes. Yeah. Don't even get me started.
that's the joke, though, yeah. Right?
And then loves the fact that Principal Skinner displays like superhuman powers to sort of, you know, but we'll get into all that. What I thought was good about this episode, Shuffle's notes, was that I didn't notice this, but when Bart is fleeing from Skinner, a shot of Bart running down the hill is from the episode.
Can I guess or can I tell you?
Go for it.
Camp Krusty. Yes. Notice that myself.
Which I thought was a bit... I didn't notice it myself, but when I read it, I was like, huh. Now, what I thought was interesting about this, right... This review of this episode when it first came out was described as possibly the best the series has ever looked on DVD. So when it sort of came out on DVD, it looked great. However, The Boy Who Knew Too Much, as part of this season, was one of the few episodes in which technical issues still remained. For example, Bart and Lisa's image was fuzzy towards the beginning, which I did notice myself. I was thinking, this animation's very sort of iffy. I don't know if you picked up on that at all.
I know, by the end of it, I thought it got really, really clear. So maybe that was just because like, when I was watching it, I had to pause it. And then when I came back to watch the last five, 10 minutes, I was like, whoa, like, it's really sharp looking. So maybe it was just because I hadn't noticed that the first part was a bit fuzzy. And then when I refocused, it was like, whoa, fresh. They popped, like...
Because apparently the episode featured, for the last time, some of the hand-drawn dimensions that were later eliminated once the show switched to digital and all that sort of stuff. Which I did actually... It's weird that it even said that, because I remember specifically there was a scene when a door opened and closed, and there was a sign on the door, and like the writing didn't close with the door. It was sort of a bit askew or something like that. But apart from that, I can tell you that it aired in May 1994.
Mm-hmm.
The chalkboard gag was, there are plenty of businesses like show business.
I liked it. I liked
and
it.
The couch gag, the family runs to the couch, but they look around to see that they are not at their house. They are on the set of David Letterman's talk show, which was fine.
Yeah, you know. Good too. I enjoyed it.
Chalkboard gags and couch gags, I just think, fine.
Yeah. It's always a nice bonus if I'm like, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You know?
But, yeah, unless you've got...
No, you covered pretty much the majority of the trivia.
I can't believe it's episode 20 already.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh. I'll save it for the next one. I meant to print out something else, but it's for the next one. Never mind.
Okay. We'll just...
vamp until then.
So, the episode starts.
Yes.
And it's like... blistering hot, or like they give the impression straight away that it's like... nice day, like,
yeah.
And it's, you know, Bart literally saying as much, how they're getting imprisoned on a beautiful day like this.
Yeah.
Cue the prison bus, like, which is like, again, we talk about it so much, but it's like, set up punchline, they're so good at it, like, you know. And you see sort of
like, you think one thing, or like, yeah, it's like that, or like ice cream.
I don't even want to get into that. That's next season. And boy howdy,
I know.
But Otto, basically, when he's telling them to get in, he's like, take a seat or I blow your heads off.
Straight away, he's like, this bus and I have a sort of a shining thing going on.
And then, again, I was just like smiling already, where it was like somebody playing the harmonica and like banging the cup on the side. Like,
I was already in from this point in the episode. I was like,
this is good. Like, you know, whoever's writing this, they know their stuff.
Yeah.
Like, at this point,
you know, it's a John Swartzwelder
episode. Yeah. And you get Bart looking outside, Huckleberry Finn going down. I always like where he's like, what's L-I-N-C-O-N doing over there? It's like Lincoln.
Yeah. I don't know. It's your fantasy.
And then you get the chairs, the posterior fixers or whatever. Yeah. Like,
I like the fact that they say it, like, eliminate slouching by the year 3000.
Yeah, yeah.
And soon your bones will adjust.
Well, the fact that, like, Martin's having back spasms, and then
Martin. You know, we never gave Martin a proper send-off, if didn't. I may say, because it's sort of, we just recorded.
It was in between, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So sad.
Was, you know what I've seen, and I actually almost welled up. It's stupid, like, cause it's a character. But you know, like the scene where the image of Homer sitting on his car,
yes,
where he's looking at the stars. There was a thing where it was like Bart, Nelson, and Milhouse sitting on the bonnet of the car, and Martin's up in the sky or something like that. And I was like, like I'm actually grieving more for the fake character than the person who I've never seen.
But you know? I guess, you know, that the character brings you so much
joy.
Yeah. It's a weird because we started on season 4.
Yeah,
like you kind of forget like the first 2 or 3 seasons that like he was like much more of an antagonist to Bart.
Yeah,
like, you know, the streetcar box or whatever racer, you know, the way him and Martin had a rivalry. Or like he taught Bart how to be, or he was going to teach Bart how to be smart, and Bart was going to teach him how to let loose. Like there was a lot more involvement rather than the ones we're doing. He's just like popping up
peripheral character.
Like my water dish is it, like, you know. He's kind of a walking gag at this point.
But yeah, it was a real real gut punch, if you may say.
Totally.
He says he's having back spasms.
Milhouse has lost all feeling in the left side of his body.
I lost all feeling, like his face and all.
I like how, but first of all, Krabappel is like so like full of glee for this, where you know we've been. The clocks have been fast all year, so we're going to have to stay 2 hours.
To make up for the time.
Yeah. And then when he sees, Bart looks out the window, he sees Quimby, Freddy.
Yeah.
The thing, I got all this after dropping out of the 4th grade. Yeah. Nah. Just love his look. Like,
I love that they made him, they gave him the same like nose and cheekbones or something.
It's just like a younger,
skinnier Quimby.
Diamond Joe. Bart's note is pretty.
Bart, like, I always like this. First of all, like, Principal Skinner reading it is just funnier.
If
you'd have just had it being read, it wouldn't have been as funny. But Principal Skinner's like, please excuse my handwriting. I busted whichever hand it is I write with. Signed, Mrs. Simpson. You're right to be suspicious, Edna. Like, straight up. Oh,
I gotta stop you right there. Oh.
I thought he'd completely stop every time he poured one. In fact, you know what? I'll pour myself a little.
One of these days, it's gonna.
I'm pouring. It's gonna go all over the mic.
It's gonna blow up in our faces.
Literally.
The studio will be on fire.
But yeah.
Yeah, Skinner.
Straight away.
I'm loving that. We got a good. Like, you got shades deeper of Skinner last time out, you know, he's a real person or whatever.
Yeah,
this time he's pure like disciplinarian.
Yeah, I like the fact that he doesn't even give Bart any sort of leeway based on the last episode of they almost become friends, that like he's straight away back to just not liking Bart.
Yes.
Yeah,
and the fact that he talks about the tracking device.
Yeah.
Martin's the only one,
of course.
We kind of get then the interrogation scene between Willie and Skinner.
Spill it. Where's your brother?
You'd better answer him, Lisa. He's a bad man. What are you laughing about?
You started off as the bad cop, and now you're the good one. You and Willie got mixed up about 10 minutes ago.
We did not. Now where's Bart? You better tell me.
Oh, you better tell him, Lassie. I cannot control him when he gets like this.
Now you're the good cop.
What?
And Lisa.
That was good. Yeah, Lisa, very good. Lisa's just not taking it seriously at all.
But I like how, like, childlike, you know. Like,
I was thinking that, yeah.
She can be so, like, stick adult. In the mud and adult for most of it, but it's like she's just, like, giggling.
Dangling her legs, like, yeah, just giggling away.
He's a bad man. And Bart is out enjoying
trying himself. To live the fantasy.
And this is one of, and it's something that I always think about, the delivery here. When it's like, he thinks it's like Lincoln and hooked in, and then it's like two homeless men like, "Hey kid, wanna see a dead body?"
It just goes so dark, yeah, like so real, so quick.
Like, whenever they're like they're mooching with their hands, yeah, or something.
Like they actually do want to get him. Yeah, like. Yeah. Runs away screaming.
Yes, of course. Skinner is out around town looking to find Bart.
If I were a truant boy out for a good time, I'd be right here, the Springfield Natural History Museum. Your mind, Simpson.
I love the use of the word, if I were a truant boy.
Nobody uses the word truant anymore.
I rarely hear it.
And like, I used to see it in comics all the time. Like in like Beano and Dandy when I was growing up, it would be like truant officer would be out like trying to catch the kids or whatever.
Did you prefer Beano or Dandy?
I was a Beano man.
And me.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan. Or was it Dandy or was it Desperate Dan?
Desperate Dan was the Dandy's front man. And then Bash Street Kids.
It was a Bash Street Kids man all the way.
That was
Beano.
Was it Beano? Yeah. But the two big ones for Beano were Dennis Menace, Bash Street Kids.
Oh, yeah.
And Desperate Dandy had Desperate Dan, and they had...
Did like some sort of shepherd's pie or something? What was
that was his big thing, yeah.
Was it shepherd's pie? Yeah,
he had a giant chin.
Yeah. I never really liked Desperate Dan.
And he had a cow, I think, maybe?
Yeah.
But that was their big one, and I'm trying to think who else. Banana Man was maybe he.
I
was,
wanted to say something about bananas.
Yeah, he was Banana Man, I think, was Dandy as well.
Yeah.
And
for some reason, I thought it was Desperate Dan liked bananas. I knew there was something to do with bananas.
Banana Man was
I'm mixing them.
Yeah. But they were great. You get the old annual. My nephew still gets them.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I imagine that. It's terrible.
It's not quite the same.
Yeah.
Imagine it's Simpsons level of deterioration.
I used to be so obsessive with them. I'd be like at a sale of work, like, I don't have that Beano from 20 years ago.
1989?
Man, buy me that one there. Like, you know, it's 15p or something like that.
I like the fact that like Skinner's places that he looks for a truant boy. Yes. He's like, I'd be right here, the Springfield Natural History Museum. You're mine, Simpson. Like, he's so confident.
Yeah. Bart, meanwhile, is at the theater.
I love that pronunciation.
theater. And I just like how Bart's logic to him is like, if I was under 17, I'd be in school, right? He's like, I guess so.
Enjoy Booba-rama, sir.
And of course, you get the meme for all memes.
Why, there are no children here at the 4-H Club either. Am I so out of touch? No, it's the children who are wrong.
There's loads. I noticed this particularly in this episode. There's loads of quotable or memeable gags in this.
Bart at the auction house brought a good chuckle out of me as well.
What was it, 2.3 million?
The small man with the runny nose. And then he runs off. And then he's like, we'll just go to the next highest bid of 2.1 million. And I'm like, nah.
The way your man runs off. Like, were there any serious bids? I was going to say great. The next where it's like Bart and Homer.
That's why they're father and son. Yeah. Like, you know, like you would say, oh, that's why they're best friends. Like, this is what Bart gets from Homer. Like, you know.
They clearly see each other as well. Yeah. It's like, I can't let the boys see me skip work.
Yeah. And it's like, good afternoon.
How do you do, sir?
But Homer, first of all, why does Homer have a comb?
That's his mustache.
But why does he have a comb? He's no hair.
Yeah. And where'd he get it?
Plot hole right there.
Sure, if somebody got fired for that one.
Yeah. But yeah, I like how Bart is just like, pats his down. He looks different.
All he does, as if his own dad wouldn't recognize him. Like,
I love next with Skinner. Doublement. Trying to double your fun, eh? Well, I'll double your detention. I wish someone was around to hear that.
And so we enter Endgame. Skinner is so good in this. Like, he's like, it's not even like the Skinner that you know.
It's not Skinner. Like, it really isn't. Like,
it's just some other character with all Skinner's best features and his backstory. Yeah. And like, you know what I mean?
It's some sort of like horror hybrid character, but just given Skinner's voice. Like, I always thought it was supposed to be like the Terminator.
Yeah.
But it is not. If you can tell me when we get to this next bit, what it's supposed to be referencing.
Oh, the next bit, sure.
Yeah. So when basically Bart is running away from Skinner after he exits the ice cream shop,
oh, yeah,
and he cuts the
Bridge.
The bridge.
Yeah.
And Skinner walks across.
Great scene as well.
Can you tell me what it is?
Westworld.
You looked it up, Glenn. I know you've never seen that movie. I know it. 100%.
When do I get the credit then?
Never. You never get the credit.
I know what the problem was. I said it too confidently.
Yeah.
If I'd just, I was almost going to take my glasses off.
There's too much theater involved in that. Like, you're like pushing your chair.
I was
back.
Waiting. Yeah. Here it is, the big moment.
Yeah, you bucket. I can't even ask you these questions anymore.
I got it right. No,
you got it right from the piece
of
paper.
Yeah, but the last time when there was like 7 references in the,
yeah,
space one, I didn't look at any of those.
Okay, fair enough.
I got like 6 out of those 7.
But so, that one there,
yeah.
But I always thought it was supposed to be Terminator.
Terry, can I interest you in a bit of twirl?
Sure.
Surely.
After that, yeah.
Surely you can take the whole
thing. Oh!
We'll have a finger each, Terry. Eh?
Why do you have to make it? Like, why do you have to say it like that? Like,
because it's funny. Now, the biggest cardinal sin of podcasting
is this.
Is exactly what we're doing, and it drives me absolutely mental. If I'm
missing. Actually quite like it when they own it.
Now, any noise you're hearing is Terry, who doesn't close his mouth when he eats.
I do close them out.
I tell you, the only time I can tolerate being around you when you're eating is when I'm eating myself and I'm distracted by my own food.
Are you fucking kidding me? What is this? This is you are witnessing the end of the podcast here, folks.
This is a hot near. I'm sweating again through my t-shirt. Fucking hell.
Wear black, will you?
Look, I don't have to impress you. You know I sweat. I don't have to hide it from you. I was wearing a black shirt today and everything. I don't have to pretend like I'm not a sweaty mess around you.
I can't believe you said I don't close my mouth when I
you
eat.
You do, I'm joking. Yeah, you but better. You used to not.
No.
When you were younger.
Sinus problems, man. Now, you want me to die?
Well,
thanks for the twirl, though.
No problem.
Thanks for grinding the podcast to a screeching halt.
But now you've had chocolate.
Yeah. I feel better. Feel less angry at you.
I'm so sorry, everyone. I absolutely hate when anyone is eating that and I skip straight away. So if you're still with us, thank you.
Why did you do it then? We could have had it beforehand. I even put it up on Instagram. You had a pre-podcast snack.
Did you put my twirl on Instagram?
Yeah. And your
consent to that.
And your
tropical consent to this.
You were gone. I nicked it when you weren't looking.
I do it again. Well, they'll thank us for the bonus energy that we've just given ourselves.
Absolutely, yeah.
Anyway, where are we?
In hour 3 of podcasting, you'll be thanking us. I just want to say, actually, I think the score, the music used here, is really, really good. Like, doom, doom, doom. Like,
yeah.
It really gives you the sense of dread, yeah, of like, it's horror film-esque. Mm. It is. I think it's supposed to be like Westworld, like the score or whatever. But like,
oh, yeah,
even when he's like, you know, he's climbing up the cliff, the next part of it, like, and you're like, Skinner, like,
I know.
And like, Bart, the fact that it's like a cliff side at like,
yeah,
the desert or whatever, yeah, you know, like, it really adds to the, like, holy shit, like, Bart's in trouble. He's like, you're fearing for his, like what's he gonna do when he catches him? Is the question I always
ask.
Yeah, like,
he's just gonna grab him and say, oh, detention.
Or no, but like, or he's gonna do something terrible,
throw
to
him off the cliff.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I wouldn't even say I had an issue with it, but the way when Quimby's car goes past, I'm like, yeah. Skinner just happens to sort of look up or something for a second, and then jumps on at the rock.
He says he can taste his fear.
Yeah,
and he's like,
he sort of looks away for a second, like. And just,
but
like,
I love the animation of him around the rock, like, yeah, what the.
But I wonder how would Bart ever get in that car?
It's going
about 100 yeah, miles an hour.
Like, it's a cartoon. Nothing has to make sense.
Plus, we didn't give enough appreciation for Bart saying he's like some sort of non-giving up school guy.
I like the fact that when he's in Quimby's car...
Freddy, honey, I think something just dropped into the back seat.
I'm not paying you to talk. But, like, He's like, oh, it's a prostitute. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like,
didn't get that one as a kid. Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, like, he's just his arm candy. He's like, no, no, he's paying her, you know, so she's a prostitute. Like,
paying her to have sex with him.
Yes. Well, we can only assume.
Well, allegedly. Yeah. I love when he gets to the party. He speeds in through the bushes in his convertible. He's like, give me the ball.
The punch has been spiked.
And everyone's like laughing, but they don't actually find it funny. Yeah.
Quimby is like, that's my nephew, displaying the Quimby wit that's won the public heart. Happy birthday, Freddy, and may all your disgraces be private. Now, I know we've touched on it in previous episodes. This is the first really heavy Quimby episode.
Yeah.
Or Quimby heavy episode, even.
Yeah.
And I guess, how well versed are you with the Kennedys?
Not very.
John, Bobby, Ted.
I know John JFK Kennedy Jr. was president, and I know there was a whole bunch of others who died in
horribly mysterious circumstances. Bobby was murdered as well, and he was assassinated.
So one of them involved in the Bermuda Triangle? Did I make that up?
Is the Bermuda Triangle a real thing?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's a real thing, but it's a real area. Wasn't there something about the Bermuda Triangle and one of the Kennedys? Did I completely make that up?
Well, you know what? It could be. I've never heard of it.
I hear they had terrible luck with that.
But like...
life.
Like, but I guess the way it's kind of gone, it's the ancestors or like the entitled Kennedy, you know, like the ones that have grown up as... My granddad was JFK or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like my uncle was JFK. Like Ted Kennedy, he was drunk and he ran his car off a bridge with a woman in it and killed her. And there's all this sort of controversy around them, like with women being abusive or... like staff, so that's kind of what they're drawing from here, you know. The way it's
they know this at the time,
Exactly. Like, yeah, right. So like, always this sort of like these powerful people that kind of get away with things or whatever like that. But the Quimbys have always been like the Kennedys,
plus, especially they make Freddie Quimby particularly sort of like, I remember seeing
nasty,
like he probably is one of the nastiest characters that they've had in the whole series, like because he just has no redeeming qualities at all,
yeah, like, but. And it. I read, because I said, like, on the AV Club, they've done, over the past few years, they have, like, reviews of, like, the classic Simpsons episodes. And I always read the review before watching, or after watching the episode, just to sort of see if I sync up with it. And one of the points they made was very good. It was, like, they kind of really draw into, when it gets to the court case, which is coming up, like, the morality of, like, would the society be better off with him behind bars, even though he's innocent, or should he be set free and let this, like, because he didn't do anything, that this reprehensible man continue to get away with stuff that he's probably not going to be prosecuted for? Like, you know, that's some big questions raised.
Yeah, exactly. Like whole thing to do with, like, you know, like elitism and class and all, and this, like, sort of
Bart's moral dilemma is, like, it's big stuff being put in the episode here. Like, but they balance it.
But it doesn't.
It's not heavy-handed. Like,
it's not like the episode's a serious one and you don't get the jokes. Like, you get like some of the most memorable jokes. Whole series in this episode. Well, like,
gonna get into them now, because like, I do think, as good as the table setting has been so far, it really starts to, like. Ramp it up when we get to this point here. When he walks over to Quimby, I love where Quimby's like, who are you? He's like, I'm one of your nephews you don't see often. Bart. Great name. And we get McBain.
I thought this was, like, you know, straight away, it's like, hey, McBain, I'm a big fan, but your last movie really sucked. It's like, I know. There were script problems from day one.
Yeah, I'll say. Magic ticket my ass, McBain.
It's like, Maria, my mighty heart is breaking. I'll be in the Humvee.
What are they referencing?
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes, but what in specifically are they referencing?
Like, what movie?
Yeah.
95... is it a movie that I like?
I don't know. We never talk about it. I'm fascinated by it.
I probably haven't. Is it The Last Action Hero?
It is! It is.
You said I'm fascinated by it.
It's crazy. I think I'd need to revisit it.
I'd like to watch it now.
To see if it's good.
I do remember liking it at the time, but like,
I hated it.
Did you?
Yeah. I thought it was weird. I didn't get it.
I love the whole, like, you know, your man where he doesn't understand the bad guy, you know, where he's like, excuse me, you know, where he's walking up with a gun. I was wondering if you could solve something for me. It's like, I've just shot a man. Like, and no one's saying that in America. Like, brilliant.
Yeah, but Maria is referencing Maria Shriver.
Oh, Arnie's wife.
Yes.
At the time.
They're split up now, I think, because remember that scandal that...
Which one?
Remember the scandal where it was like he had an illegitimate child?
It was made?
Yeah. No. It looked mad, like such a weird... I don't want body shame or whatever.
Did you see recently, speaking to him, your man who drop kicked him in that gym?
Yeah.
He barely fucking moved as well. He's just there.
What was it over though?
I don't know what it was over. But like, you just see this guy.
He came from behind, right?
Like, he proper just comes right from behind. Yeah. And like, Arnie just goes, like, it's like someone bumped into him or something. And then like, your man was just taken out and probably beat the shit out.
But it kind of has the same vibe of when a fan would get in the wrestling ring.
Yeah.
And it's just like, swarm.
Like, you ever see those? Like, yeah, like Triple H.
Jesus Christ, Austin! I don't know what he does. He barely even touches.
You gone between those ropes?
Yeah, but that's what he said. And like, listen to podcasts and stuff where it's like they would bash him in the ring, and then like the security would take him backstage, and then all the wrestlers backstage would beat the shit
out.
Like, they all get their licks in, like, and then they just like throw him out the back door. Like, but like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you thinking? Like,
it's mental.
Brilliant.
We're getting a bit of soup being served.
Hey, what the hell is this? It's a bowl of chowder, sir.
Wait a minute, come here. What did you call it? Say it loud so everyone can hear. Come on, say it.
Chowder.
Ha ha ha! Ha ha ha! Chowder! It's chowder. Say it right.
Chowder.
Ha ha ha! Ha 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 ha! Come back here. I'm not through demeaning you.
Now, maybe we should fill the audience in, maybe on some of our newer listeners, on myself and yourself and the word chowder.
Where did that even come from?
Well,
it's my affectionate nickname.
I have you on my phone as, I don't know if it's chowder or chowder. Chowder.
I don't believe it.
I think it used to be chowder, and then you got a new phone, so I changed it to chowder.
I am insulted and also impressed at the same time.
It came from, because we were talking about our nicknames in school, and yours was like Andy Cantwell, Andy Clamwell. And then I was like,
I think Clamwell was more recent.
No, but that was
like Sean Harnett.
Oh, was it? Yeah. And then it was like, I was like, Clamwell, Clamhead, Clam Chowder. And then it was just Chowder.
And then, you see, we had a previous podcast called Catch of the Day, and Terry's nickname was Tuna, because it sounds like your surname. It
sounds like Toner.
Yeah. Terry Tuna.
I had a Tuna t-shirt as well, in fairness.
Oh, yeah. And I think it was actually, we used to have like a friend, like, who was also called Toner, that we called Tuna. And for a reason, it's
Shane
sort of,
Toner.
That's the one. Yeah. So then we had a podcast that was called Catch of the Day with Tuna and Chowder.
I remember we had our first meeting for that podcast. It was like, what are we going to do? Or what's our hook? And I was like, well, we could call it, because we both have, like, seafood-related
nicknames.
Like, we could call it Catch of the Day, and we could discuss topics. And then at the end, we could pick our catch of the day. And I was like, quickly drop that.
I remember specifically coming up with the name in Centra. You did. Yeah. I was on the deli, and you were on the till. Yeah. I remember we were like shouting across the shop.
See, this is why it's great. Like,
absolutely. Because I'm making someone's roll jump butter on that. So you're tuna, and I
was like, would you like a bag? Okay, that'll be 15.20. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, you're chowder.
Oh, yeah. So, yes, I am chowder.
Chowder.
He's like, he follows him into the kitchen, even he demands it. Say it, well, Frenchie.
It's another trope that me and you love, is the like put upon like help, quote unquote. Like, where we used to always have that running bit, it was like, we'd make a bad joke, and he's like, hey, you like that, James? And like, yes, sir. Very good, sir. But this one is like, he's standing up
one
for himself.
One guy's yucking it up, and the other guy is not impressed at all.
I like how he stands up for himself, where he's like, say it again, he's like, there they are. But I did think it was very satisfying looking as well. Bart taking a chunk out of the Rice Krispie cake.
Are you a fan of Rice Krispies?
In general?
Right, are you a fan of Rice Krispies and are you a fan of Rice Krispies chocolate Rice Krispies cakes?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And me.
Are you a fan of Ricicles?
What?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Me neither.
I don't think I've ever eaten a Ricicle.
I mean, you know what they are.
Like, yeah, they're like a knockoff. Like,
they were Kellogg's as well.
Were they Kellogg's?
I think they were just like sugar-free Rice Krispies. But I like, everybody was going on about Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
I didn't care for the cartoon.
I loved the space guy. Like, I was like, I'm sold on this guy alone.
I didn't like him at all.
Why not?
He's only too familiar. I liked my you staple.
Like Trina pukes.
I liked Snap, Crackle, and Pop. You got good toys in there. I liked Sugar Puffs. No. I liked the Honey Monster.
No.
Tony the Tiger. I didn't
like him either. Like,
Tony the Tiger.
I didn't like Frosties. Didn't like cornflakes.
What did you eat as a kid?
If you can guess my cereal.
Now
and then. And I'll tell you what, Special K came later.
I was going to say Special K.
Came later.
All right.
But if you could guess mine when I was a child and what I have now.
Give me two goes each. One?
They're the same, what I had then and what I have now.
For it's the same.
It's the same.
Okay, well, it's going to be something plain.
Ooh. Maybe. Getting warmer.
So it's not Frosties or cornflakes.
Frosties aren't plain, man.
Plain enough.
They got sugar all over them.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's not them anyway. It's not cornflakes.
No.
You're not a Cocoa Pops man.
I am not.
No. No, yours is. is it a Kellogg's?
I think it's a Kellogg's. You can also get your garden variety versions of
Hold
it.
Hold on now. Hold on. I'm sorry now. This is terrible dead air for a podcast, but I have to get this.
You can see the look in his eyes, folks. I'm truly scared.
Bran Flakes?
Strike one. Bran Flakes.
I knew it.
Cut the stomach out of myself. There's pretty much fiber going on.
Give me a clue.
No.
I don't know then. What is it?
They're big.
They're big. Cheerios?
No.
Weedabix.
Yeah.
Of course, Weedabix. And I bet you didn't put sugar on it either.
Oh,
you son
I
of a
put,
bitch.
I put sugar. That, need sugar.
Cold Before milk. Or after milk? Cold
after,
milk.
After milk.
Oh, yeah.
After
yeah.
milk. So you put your first scoop on, and you mash it all up, and then you put your
whoa,
second
whoa,
one
whoa,
on.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, you gotta mash
it up.
Mash it up so it's like a gruel.
No! Yeah. No!
Yeah!
How many pieces would you have?
Three.
I'd have up to five.
What? That's too much.
As many as can fit in the bowl, I'd squish the
three
bowl.
In a bowl.
Three, I would be a bit disappointed with three. I'd generally have
three.
Four.
I have done.
And I like to eat them separately. I'd do one, then the second one, then the third, and then what? The fourth. And sometimes I top it up with sugar halfway through.
That's what I do. I 100% do. 100%
nice.
Do.
Mashing it up though. Ugh.
Yeah, you mash it up.
You're eating prison food.
Yeah, it's so delicious. What do you do? Hold on. So do you just like?
I have four of the.
First of all, how do you fit
it.
Four into a bowl?
I get a big bowl.
Okay.
And I top it right up with milk. And I'll start on the
you
first.
Put the milk
one.
In first.
Milk then sugar. Yeah.
No, but the Weetabix first?
Weetabix first.
Okay. Well, just the way you said it.
And then I would start on the right-hand side, and I would eat that one. And right. then I'd...
But how do you eat it? You just, like, break...
I'd break it. I'd use a spoon. I'd break because it would be wet from the whatever. So I'd break it with the spoon.
Oh, no.
I'd take about four spoons per Weetabix.
It sounds awful.
Better than mushing it into some sort of slop.
Mush it up and you can twirl it around...
It's so unsatisfying. As a kid, did you even do that?
No, probably not. Okay. But as an adult.
As an adult, it makes more sense.
Yeah, that's what I like to do. That's my morning routine. Not three this morning. Now, I will say, if I am...
Go
like,
on.
If I have been in the gym or something before work, I can go up to six. I can do three and then another bowl of three.
Oh, yeah. I could eat cereal all day.
Sometimes, like... Or if I'm playing football late at night and I'll be like... Come back at like 9:15, I'm like... Can't really eat a bowl of cereal before bed.
There is nothing more satisfying than a cheeky bowl of cereal in the evening.
Like, maybe we should just do our own podcast about cereal.
I could talk forever about cereal.
What are we talking about?
Simpsons.
Yeah, Rice Krispies. Right.
Man, that one joke has led us on such a tangent.
Yeah. And I love the whole thing of like, I'm going to enjoy this.
And the little click at the end.
Oh my God. Somebody's taking a bite out of the Big Rice Krispie Square. Oh, and the waiter's been brutally beaten.
Just even those words, like saying brutally beaten and then Marge saying like, it says Freddie Quimby beat a waiter half to death.
Yeah.
Like you don't hear them talk about those sort of things.
I'm glad it wasn't a murder mystery type thing. That it was a simple case of deadly assault.
Good old fashioned assault.
Yeah. I like how like Bart is almost tipping his hand straight away where he's like, he's innocent.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then so then you get the whole thing of how do you know?
Yeah.
There's no witnesses, then the whole moral dilemma comes in.
And then Bart straight away, and I'm glad they don't draw it out too much. That's like him and Lisa.
And I quite like that. He tells Lisa like almost straight away that like they still have that, like as different as they are, they still have that good connection. You can just tell her straight away.
And I love when they are a team. When they put those two together, it works way better, I think, like as opposed to them. When they work together or against each other, it's good. When they're off doing their own stuff.
Yeah, not as.
They're the best. That's the best use of the two of them.
Agreed.
I do like where it's like, he's basically saying, I can't tell. She's like, why? And then like Skinner just shows up.
Bart Simpson, I know you quit school yesterday, and as soon as I can prove it, I'm sending you off to the Christian Military Reform School. And like,
what he says.
Does he even have the power to do that? Like,
then it's like, you know, if you don't testify, you know, I'm sure he'll be found innocent by a fair and impartial jury. Like, again, set up punchline, cut the homework. Like,
oh, jury duty! I'll see that Quimby kid hang for this!
I knew it was a bad idea to watch him open the mail.
Let's go over to the county courthouse live to Kent Brockman.
Brockman, just outside the county courtroom where an argument about chowder has spilled over into the biggest trial in Springfield history. Behind these doors, a federal judge will ladle out steaming bowls of rich, creamy justice in a case the media have dubbed Beat Up Waiter. This reporter suggested Waitergate, but was shouted down at the press club. Now it's illegal to televise court proceedings in this state, so we'll have to be quiet. No!
Waitergate is so much better, I think.
It's so much better. I think that's what someone's it's clearly better. Yeah. And then you just get like, first of all, Skinner.
Yeah.
He's like such a great little dialogue there. He's like,
I know you can read my thoughts, Bart. Just a little reminder. If I find out you cut class, your ass is mine. Yes, you heard me. I think words I would never say.
That's right. I think words I would never
just
say.
Just even the way he's like, your ass is mine.
And the look that Homer gives him, he's like, I know you can read my thoughts. It's like that sort of just frown, just staring at him.
It's kind of a frown, but it's almost just like a real like intense, like
I've never seen Homer look like
almost
that.
Almost looking like he's pleading with him as well. Like,
almost that like,
meow, 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 meow.
Do I know what it's from?
Yeah.
The Meow Mix advert.
I like chicken, I like liver. Meow Mix, please deliver.
What's that?
Not that. That is it.
Yeah, but where have I heard that before? I like chicken. It's in some show or some movie. Oh, that's going to kill me.
Yeah. Good.
I like chicken.
And I like liver.
It's someone like calling a cat or Mr. something. Or I like chicken. I like. Oh, that's going to drive me mental.
I'm glad I got on there, folks.
I hate that.
Yeah. Well, why don't you ask Siri? So the lawyer again is, it's not the blue haired lawyer.
Got it.
What is it?
Austin Powers. It's Dr. Evil.
Okay,
that's right. I like chicken, I like liver. Okay. Now I got it. Now I can get on with the podcast.
Okay, thanks for that.
You're welcome. Where were we?
I was saying it's not the blue haired lawyer. It's not
I was thinking that
it's like it's the same voice.
Same voice. Why didn't they go with the blue haired lawyer?
I think it's because it's like basically Quimby.
He's only against the Simpsons, basically.
No, I kind of like the idea. I think maybe that's like Quimby is hiring like the younger version of that type of lawyer. Like, you know, because he seems like he could very well work at the same firm. He could be your man's nephew.
But
he's just like a younger.
Oh.
So,
so then you get.
I love it. It's such one of my favorites. Go on. But
is this Lionel Hutz now? Mm.
First of all, like, he's like saying that
he wasn't even born in this country.
I intend to prove that Freddie Quimby is totally innocent. First of all, his accuser is a very shady character. That waiter, Mr. LaCourse, not only wasn't born in Springfield, he wasn't even born in this country.
From now on, you tell me everything.
From now on, you tell me everything.
Everyone runs to the phones. Yeah, like,
love that line. Like,
and then you get Mo clearly paid off.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of this part, to be honest. Like,
it was a bit too shoehorned in, yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah, my laundry is done.
Yeah. And then...
Well, Hutz's opening statement is insane.
He's like, I'm going to prove that not only is Freddie Quimby guilty, but he's also innocent of not being guilty. That doesn't even make sense.
I love Hibbert, where he's like, what we call the evil gene.
Yeah. Hitler had it?
Walt Disney had it. Freddie Quimby has it. I rest my case.
He just doesn't
case.
Know what he's doing. You rest your case? Oh, I thought that was a figure of speech.
Case closed. I really like the judge as well. That, like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know if you see her in any other episodes.
She looks familiar.
Like, but I think it, like, your memory is sort of... Because I was like, yeah, she must be in other stuff. Now I'm like, is it though? Like, I'm trying to think, maybe this is the only episode that she's in.
I don't know.
Because it's normally like Judge Snyder.
Yeah, we've drawn Judge Snyder.
We're the boys, we boys. And then we got a poo ratting out Homer.
Love that.
The guy where...
It's just something about the look of the eyes and the glasses. He just keeps going.
I love how he just thinks, yeah, no problem. And then he takes out another pair, like,
And the second pair is like the half open eyes. Something like that. And then, like, the lawyer, he's so close, he's like, even though I've proven his innocence, I'd still like to call him to the stand. He's like, he goes straight, he's like, you would never get annoyed about the pronunciation of the word chowder.
That's chowder. Chowder, I'll kill you. I'll kill all of you, especially those of you in the jury.
It's like, well, that didn't go well.
And then basically going to settle up or, you know, deliberate, I guess, is the word we'd be looking for.
As they leave, for the deliberation. And then you get Lisa brings the judge over. Was that, that bit? And then, like, you wouldn't even though it was a joke, you wouldn't even be able to do this joke in 2019. Yeah. Like, well, I just think it's great to see chicks on the bench.
Well, we're kind of skipping a bit, though, because Lisa is saying that, like, he's going to...
I forgot all about the flashback.
Yeah, brilliant. That's like... Well, first of all, Skinner being like... I can't wait for the sentencing part. That's where I really shine.
Yeah.
And then Bart, where, like, basically in his dream, he gets sentenced to a lifetime of hard labor in the cafeteria, and I just love it. It's like,
you love Jimbo Jr.
More cream corn, Jimbo Jr.
This cream corn tastes like cream crap.
Watch the party mouth, honey.
Cream crap.
I love that, like, why does he call him honey?
Like,
but, like, that's something that, like, I think is overlooked and how good, like, the visions of Bart's future.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Bang, Bart.
And I love the fact that when, like, he has certain visions of the future and he actually likes how it, even though it's terrible, you know.
The Drifter.
Yeah. Like, I'll wash myself with it. Right. Like, cool.
Yeah. It's like, pleasing taste, some mastery. And but then he said the chicks on the bench, like,
it's good to see chicks on the bench, keep up the good work, Tuts.
Mm-hmm. But I love how, like, Lisa is like,
she'd be so anti that, like, she'd be like,
Homer, when they're in the jury room,
so he's like, what does sequestered mean?
Yeah. If the jury is deadlocked, they're put in a hotel together so they can't communicate with the outside world.
What does deadlocked mean?
It's when the jury can agree on a verdict.
Uh-huh. And if?
A conjunction meaning in the event that or on condition that.
So if we don't all vote the same way, we'll be deadlocked and have to be sequestered in the Springfield Palace Hotel.
Free food. Free Springfield. Free HBO. Ooh, free Willy.
Yeah. The Free Willy gag was a little bit like, I feel like they added in the Free Willy bit there, and then they just, you know what I mean?
It's all very of the time.
Yeah.
You know, like,
because it wasn't a very, it didn't really stand the test of time, that movie.
No, it was, it's big, it was big. It was big, like, when we were kids, like, Free Willy was big.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Like, sequels.
I'd never
well,
watch
like,
it now.
No. But it's like,
I didn't like it really at the time.
It was that weird thing of in the mid 90s where it was like animal movies, like Ed,
Beethoven,
Andre the Seal, Dunstan. He's Dunstan checking in.
Checks in.
Yeah, he's checking in.
I haven't seen that.
Did you?
Yeah. Awful. Yeah. So yeah, basically, he is the only one who votes innocence.
How many S's in innocence?
I'm only doing what I think is right. I believe Freddie Quimby should walk out of here a free hotel.
I thought it was free TV. That's.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
I actually thought so too.
And then just in the hotel room, I love this little sort of, again, mini storyline of Homer and Skinner as roommates.
So funny.
Room service, send up 2 more pot roast and 3 more pillows with mints on them.
You know, we're kind of like the original Odd Couple. You're the messy one and I'm...
Shut up!
Oh, yes, very well.
Shut up! There's no even. Yeah. He's not even telling it. There's no nothing else said. It was just shut up.
Very well.
And then we get what a clip. Homer, Bart, and Lisa are watching TV. But
we had it at the start. Yeah. But this is possibly one of my favorite ever Simpsons gags of all time. It's
now,
so
is,
funny.
Is it? It's said here, McGonagall.
I choose to say McGarnagall.
I think it's McGarnagall. McGarnagall is way better.
I will always recognize him as McGarnagall.
Yeah, and just like, first of all, the way they're like, the only person who can clear his name, a little sissy boy, you're too afraid to come forward.
You gotta tell him what you saw, Billy.
But I'm so scared, McGarnagall.
You gotta do this one for me, Billy. McGarnagall.
Okay, for you, McGarnagall. Well, McGarnagall, Billy is dead. They slit his throat from in here.
I'm trying to eat lunch here.
Why has he got like that giant sandwich?
Oh, I mean, I could break down this joke for an hour. Yeah. So it's so funny. Like, it's so funny. There's so much
I love
there.
The, and like the size of the cigarette in the chief's hand. Like,
the classic chief. Well, McGonagall.
He's got the like suspenders on.
And it's so big, graphic. Like slit his throat from ear to ear. Some wussy kid. Like,
some little sissy boy.
This so is, like, good.
This is, again, it was kind of stuff that you wouldn't you get nothing like this on TV.
No.
Now. Like,
so funny. I think it might actually be my favorite Simpsons gag ever.
Ooh.
Big talk.
Mine will be coming up in a few episodes, but we'll talk about it. Homer watching the director's cut of Free Willy, where Willy crushes the boy.
Oh, what a mess.
Homer
he's lowering a table out the window.
I can't watch.
Hotels expect you to take a few things.
Is that my necktie you're wearing? Then we get it's always a like a weird little bit that I always
so Marge
and our uncle like.
Yeah, what's that all about? What do you think of this bit?
I kind of like it because it gives Marge a bit of like...
Like Marge is only a little bit.
Yeah. Know, like, but it's also like a really dark story that
Uncle
like,
Arthur shoot him all in that God sort of out.
It took 75 federal marshals to bring him down. Now let's never speak of him again.
Or then later on where she's like one certain uncle did one great December.
I love that.
Born.
I love that line. I like how it's something that I don't normally like where it's like, well, we're going to just write a lazy line here to, you know,
to give
us a loophole, like, you know, in the story. But just even, like, the fact that they own it, where it's like, even though opening a trial at this point is illegal and grossly unconstitutional, I just can't say no to kids.
And then you get the, who actually did it, Bart saying he admits he's hiding in the kitchen. Yeah. I love the whole scene that he described where
so good, like the animation,
like, dun. Yeah. It's like,
and like his hand in the blender, like.
And then he's waiting, he's like, it's like, how could you have seen all this? Weren't you supposed to be in school? As soon as he says, I skip school, I knew it. I knew he'd slip up sooner or later, Simpson.
Slip up? What are you talking about? He confessed it.
Quiet, I need this.
I love that line. Like,
that's the second time.
That sums him up to a T. Like,
he really does need it. And that's like, it's like Apu yet again for the second week in a row, like, foiling Skinner. He's just always there to bring him down.
Like, seems like he's such a nuisance to him.
And Skinner is impressed with how Bart testified, even though he was putting his own head on the noose.
Bart, I'm impressed with what you did in there. You testified for the Quimby boy, even though it was putting your own head in a noose. On the other hand, you skipped school.
I guess the two things cancel each other out, huh?
I'm a small man in some ways, Bart. A small, petty man. 3 months detention. Wait a minute, Bart. Make that 4 months detention.
This is another one that, like, kills me every time, where it's like
wait a minute, Bart.
Yeah, you know, like, he has a little face like, huh? Like, make that 4 months detention. Like,
this episode is just solid, jam-packed with joy from start to finish. Normally, like, you get, and certainly in comedies, you get, like, the first half or the first third is really funny. But this is, like, it didn't let up. It got funnier. Yeah. Like you said, it got funnier as it went on.
Homer at home. I love just, they don't mention it, but, like, his whole, the bedroom is adorned with all the Springfield Palace Hotel.
I forgot about that.
And he's like going on, he stood by his convictions, and that's where they had Chinese food for lunch.
Good for you. You know, a lot of things happened around here while you were gone.
He's like, right, I want to hear all about it. Like, give me the glasses. He's like, hey, hey, hey. Like, what does he expect? Like,
would you not notice that he's not responding to anything? Like,
But it's a great gag where it's like, because the fact that, like, Homer has just been a bit, like, peripheral throughout the whole episode, but they end with him. It kind of really shows that, like,
that's a nice little bow on it.
We can trust him to close it out. Like, you know? Yeah,
the closer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thus ends the ends the episode. Terry, should we get into ratings?
Please.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Sucker. What did you think of this episode?
I didn't really like it.
I loved it! It always works.
Yeah. Turn the tables on you. Thought it was great. I was expecting it to be good, and it exceeded my expectations in how well it held up, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I remember thinking about it last, because last week was the same, where I was like, oh, that was a good episode. And it really held up. And then I was like, oh, next week's one is good too.
Yeah.
And it fucking, like, really, like you did. Say, like, I was smiling, like, laughing inwardly for so much of it. Like, and then, like, even going through it here, like, it's just jam-packed with good stuff. But also a really good story. And like we talked about earlier on, it has a lot to sort of...
It was a very jam-packed episode, isn't it? Like, as far as story and laughs and all that.
Yeah, like, it's one story, but, like, everybody gets their bit, bar Marge, I guess. Yeah. Like, you know, but it raises some good topics as well. Like, great use of the bench, again. Like, with Skinner. Like, and then you're bringing in some new characters that, like, have an immediate impact with, like... Quimby and Clouseau, whatever his name was.
Monsieur Lacrosse.
Lacrosse, like, little cameo from Brockman as well. Always makes me laugh. Huts.
Oh, yeah. Like, Jesus, it's so strong. Yeah, so Skinner, like, is fairly heavy, prominent. You probably mentioned him already, but yeah.
A couple of contributions from Apu, but very, very good. Great writing. Big laughs.
It ticked all the boxes as far as story, commentary, and humor, all, and nothing suffered as a result of one or the other. Like,
if you'd like to know my rating,
I would, Terry.
It is going to be a 9.2.
No! That's our secret score of the day.
Top of the charts?
I think that's the toppermost of all?
Ooh.
Of all?
Oh, my lord.
I don't think you've rated anything higher. You gave a 9.1 earlier in the season and a Rosewood. 9. Yeah.
It was my favourite one. My favourite one we've done so far this year. Yes.
Well.
MVP.
Please.
If For me,
T
is Skinner.
Yeah, it's got to be. Well, I would agree with you on the MVP. I pretty much agree with everything you said as far as the review goes. It had everything. I was never bored. It was some of the most memorable, best gags. It has the best gag in my eyes.
What, the McGarnagle?
Yeah. I would give it a 9.1.
Ooh.
So I would put it, that's what I gave the last one as well. But yeah, 9.1 is, so the last two episodes have been a joint top in my eyes. So we're really coming into it now.
Yes, and but we're only finishing season 5. That's the thing, like.
Your whole season 6.
I will say, it's finishing strong.
Yeah.
Season 4, I think.
Finished a bit.
Yeah, like you kind of had, we weren't crazy on Last Exit to Springfield.
Yeah.
And then like Krusty.
I feel like we're the only ones on that one. Everyone rates that so highly, like TV at its most perfect and all this. What am I missing here? Yeah. Like?
I don't know. Like, I don't think it holds up. Like, to me.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And Krusty Gets Cancelled was the end of season 4.
Yeah, I had fond memories of as a kid, but looking back,
it was really sketchy. Like, it was really weird. Like,
even this one, like, I didn't go into it with particularly high expectations, but yeah, like,
I always remember just really enjoying it, and then like watching it, I'm just like, whoa, this
the whole Skinner angle, like, because it's almost like. You've got one whole story, but then you have loads of little ones that just all mesh together.
They all
like
orbit around the big
Skinner
story.
And Bart, and you know, all this sort of stuff. So yeah, very good.
What do we got next?
Next week, Terry.
Why don't you ask me what we have?
What do we got next, Terry?
We have season 5, episode 21, Lady Bouvier's Lover.
Is that the one with Troy McClure?
Oh no, it is the one with Grandpa and Burnsy.
Oh, brilliant. I haven't seen that one in so long.
Can I come too?
Oh, brilliant. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, Terry, where can they find us?
You can find us on Facebook. Put an H at Die Hard Simpsons Podcast.
There and if I may, sorry to interrupt you immediately after asking you a question.
Unbelievable.
I hadn't been on Facebook in ages. We had some lovely reviews from Neil, from our old pal Timothy Burleson. So thank you very much for the kind words.
Every little helps.
And apologies for not replying for months, but I hadn't seen them until the other day.
Are you going to take over the manning of the Facebook ship?
Well, I kind of, the stuff I've been posting on Instagram has just been going on Facebook anyway, so.
You can at Andy Cantwell on Twitter.
Don't give my hand up.
Sorry. At Andy Cantwell on Twitter if it's the Facebook isn't being updated regularly.
Hit me up there. Or you can catch us more appropriately on at Put It In H Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. You can support us there by leaving a great on iTunes you can leave us a great review, give us a follow on the social media.
I will say thank you for people who have been giving us, you know, 5-star reviews.
Yeah, we have gotten a few.
And it's really helped us. We've been charting the last few episodes.
Oh, yes.
It's been making our days.
It really has. Yeah. And I check it way more often than I should. I'd like to then to just give you a notification. You're in the top 200.
Yeah.
But I love seeing our podcast.
It's great. We're charting like crazy. So.
And even, I have to say, like, even in this spell of a few weeks where we hadn't had it, and like I'm still checking it, like we still get, you know, people listening even if we haven't put that out in a while. So thank you very much if you
appreciate listening. The support.
We really do.
And if you want to further support us,
now that we've gotten that out of the way,
you can get us on paypal.me/ Put It In H Podcast. Mm-hmm. You can donate as much or as little as you would like.
Well.
As much
as you like.
Yeah.
That's not Andy, that's not insulting.
Andy says he's gonna break my legs if we don't get more money coming in.
They're gonna take my thumbs. So yes, that'd be wonderful as well. And
we should have a bonus episode coming next week.
Yes.
That's gonna be hopefully the trend going forward is main episode and then a mini episode.
Minisode, bonusode. Yes.
Whatever we're going to call it.
Yeah,
we'll figure out a name.
So join us for that and thank you for listening. And
we'll see you soon.
Boom.